throws. It is caught. Touchdown.
Drops back to throw. It's picked up. Touchdown.
Shotgun snap. Under pressure. Ball is through.
This is the Mean Gene Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Mean Gene.
Pack it up, pack it in. Let me begin. I can no end battle me. That's a sin. I won't.
However, we are going to dig in on the NFL today. But before we do that, just know you can catch us on YouTube.com at ESPN Houston or on Twitch TV or Twitch.com. This is, again, the Mean Gene Show on ESPN 97.5 Houston. So jumping right into all of this, we have two undefeated teams in the league. We have the Kansas City Chiefs and we have the Minnesota Vikings, both on a bye week. We have a lot of teams that moved around after their games today. The standings look pretty good and everything's kind of coming together, right? This was supposed to be our separation Sunday. I am admittedly going to kick most of that information back to next week so that Mean Gene can join in on the fun for that. But we did have a lot of interesting developments that were kind of picked up on this week, starting with the 49ers and the Seahawks on Thursday Night Football. This was a great game. Seattle definitely looked like they could have taken this game. They did not. There were a lot of offensive miscues for the Seattle Seahawks this week, which was kind of a bummer. You love to see Geno Smith absolutely darting people. They had a big touchdown to DK Metcalf in the second half that got called back via penalty. That hurt yours truly because I gambled on the game and I lost big time. That was a bummer. But there are some interesting things going on here. So first off, the 49ers have been plagued with injuries this season. They have not had an easy time with injuries, and they had another big one this week. Jordan Mason, the guy brought in to replace Christian McCaffrey, also goes down. And then you have a stable of other guys behind him that came in and somehow played well, right? They're better than the 49ers can pull running backs just out of a hat. Doesn't matter if they got drafted. Doesn't matter if they went to college. They're pulling dudes off the street and it doesn't matter. They're better than most of the running backs in the league. So that was pretty crazy. AJ, were you able to watch that game this weekend?
Yeah, I watched the whole thing. Yeah.
Man, that was crazy. So when the Garrido guy ended up coming in at running back when Jordan Mason goes down, that was another, it was like Bucky Irving. I had no idea who that guy was. I texted Mean Gene. I was like, hey, dude, who is this?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and he was like, oh, yeah, I followed him in college. He's a great back. He's going to do great things. It's like I had no idea this kid even existed. He rips off 99 yards on 10 attempts and just helps to bury the Seahawks. However, I do think the Seahawks beat themselves this week.
Exactly.
They had every opportunity to do it, and Geno couldn't get it done. Geno threw a couple of inopportune interceptions. They looked bad in the red zone. Couldn't get Kenneth Walker going on the ground. It looks like they're mishandling Zach Charbonnet. And DK looked a little frustrated.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And then you saw, I don't know if you're listening to what Herb Street was saying, but basically he was saying that Geno's a streaky quarterback. It was looking like that for sure in the game, too. It was just frustrating to watch because they had the opportunities, too, to come back, but
absolutely. I mean, there are bright spots, too. You know, you had Jaxon Smith-Njigba absolutely go off. He looked really good. If Geno doesn't miss, what, four throws in his direction, Jaxon Smith-Njigba has the best game of his season.
Exactly.
Tyler Lockett looked good, albeit not in the first half, but Tyler Lockett got hot in the second half and really kind of helped what could have been a comeback bid. It's like the chemistry between Geno and DK is off. That was one of the bigger takeaways. Like, Geno peppered DK. He got so many targets in this game, he just couldn't really do anything with him. Either he was covered by three people, or the ball was either 10 yards too short or 10 yards over his head.
Exactly. Yeah.
But it was a good game, no matter what. I mean, you wanted to see a little bit more out of the San Francisco offense. I mean, I know they won 36-24, right? Like, you can only ask for so much from them. But especially in my own shoes, I was prop betting on the game. We're live out of Houston. You can't actually gamble out here. We were prop betting on the game. And the over-under on receptions for every player on the 49ers was 4.5. Only one of them hit the over. That was Juwan Jennings.
Jesus, right, yeah.
Yep. Brandon Ayuk did not look great. Debo Samuel had that one long touchdown, and outside of that, didn't look great. It was the Kyle Juszczyk show all game, which was wild. That dude's going to go down as the greatest fullback of all time.
Yeah, he's been great for them.
He's so good.
He's a game in the league.
And then you have George Kittle. George Kittle scored a bunch of touchdowns, best tight end in the league this year with the decline of Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
But it was I think the 49ers are going to start separating themselves. I do think that they're still the best team in this division. it might just be a weaker division than what we're used to it being. I mean, Seattle's on a decline. You have the Cardinals who lost today. We'll talk about them a little later on in the show. And then you have the Rams who are at the cellar, and they haven't looked good this year. Despite all the injuries, they do have tons of injuries. You know, Cooper Kupp's out, Puka Nacua's out. So they have their own list of problems. But I think that division might end up being a little weaker, is probably the wrong word for it, but weaker than what we've seen in years past. What do you think, AJ?
Yeah, for sure. And then we thought it was going to be stronger because how the Seahawks started off, but they've lost their last three games in 11 days, I believe, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then, and like you said about the Rams, too, a lot of people were picking them to potentially, you know, take another leap. But, of course, the injury bug hit them early, just like how it did a couple years ago. So it's like the 49ers, I mean, they're still poised to do well. We don't know when CMC's going to come back, but they still have a good team.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, Kyle Shanahan can do so much with nothing at his disposal. And, I mean, I personally thought the Rams were going to be a lot better. But it's one of those things where, I don't know, once you get into the season and they're missing Aaron Donald, you have all these injuries. So they have basically, despite beating the Niners, I think beating the 49ers for the Rams is going to end up being the highlight of their year, because that essentially, it pissed the 49ers off enough to...
They woke up, basically.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It reignited that fire underneath them. So, I mean, you do love to see that. I love Kyle Shanahan, love mm-hmm. John Lynch. Mm-hmm. It's just going to be interesting to see what the 49ers end up doing throughout the rest of this season.
Right.
Because you have CMC. You don't know when he's going to come back. They started saying that it'd be a couple weeks. Now you're looking at week 8, week 9 before he actually returns. Yeah. So maybe they end up crumbling. I mean, the Seahawks are definitely the second best team in this division.
Yeah.
They showed it against the Niners. Again, I can't emphasize this enough. Seattle could have won this game. If it weren't for a handful of miscues, Seattle had this game in the bag. So I'm wondering if the injuries to San Francisco mount up and everybody else gets a little healthy and the Seahawks make a run for it, because the Seahawks are the only team in the division that have not beaten the Rams yet. The Cardinals beat the Rams. The Cardinals beat the Niners. The Rams mm-hmm. beat the Niners. Mm-hmm. And Seattle's the only one that's actually lost. So it's going to be interesting to see how this one shakes out. Mm-hmm. Good win for the 49ers, strong divisional win for the 49ers. And I don't know, I think this was a good call. This was a good game for the 49ers. It was their first divisional win. They were 0-2 going into this game. So a lot of good things coming out of this. You do want to see a little more, you know, production out of their offensive skill players. But it was a good game overall.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, the Thursday night games have been better the past couple of weeks. I don't know about this Thursday because it's the Broncos and the Saints. Right, exactly.
Hey, Spencer Rattler, baby.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, they were playing really good, but then the Bucks, yeah.
And then the second half happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, all right, man. Well, that should take us to the end of the first segment. You are listening to the Mean Gene Show on 97.5 ESPN Houston.
You're listening to the Mean Gene Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Mean Gene.
First and 10. Oh, that was deflected. And it's in the air. They say they've gotten it on the ricochet. 2 sacks and a deflected pass.
Welcome back. Anderson, that was a clip from the Houston Texans today. Eric Murray made one of the nicest plays I've ever seen in his career. I have not always been very positive about him. However, he has come on real strong this season. Will Anderson tips a pass up. Eric Murray catches a pass while getting blocked. He catches behind the man's back. And that was basically the Houston Texans today in a nutshell. They absolutely played their hearts out. Stand up, H-Town. It was a great week for us. We were playing the dysfunctional Patriots, starting a rookie quarterback. However, that does not matter, because Houston takes the dub today, and it was beautiful. And before I dig into the Texans a little bit more, I do want to say we have Brian DiArdo coming on, joining us in the next segment. We have Bally Sports' Dustin Pfeiffer joining us later in the show. So just wanted to bring that up. I forgot that in the first segment. I am a little nervous. I apologize, everybody. But the Houston Texans played their hearts out. Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce come back for the first game in weeks. Joe Mixon goes 102 yards with a tutter. Damian Pierce has 76 yards and a tutter. It looked amazing. C.J. Stroud looked comfortable. We had New England on their heels all game, and it was magical. This has got to be what it feels like to be like a Chiefs fan under Patrick Mahomes, right? The Texans came out. They were moving the ball. They were moving the ball well. We could run. We could pass. It didn't. Our defense looked fantastic. Will Anderson finishes the game with 3 sacks. Danielle Hunter was all over the field. Azeez Al-Shaair looked amazing. What a bring in. This was a good game for us to win. You know, we're now 5-1. We are third place in the NFL right now, courtesy of not being on a bye week yet. However, we are 5-1 and in third place behind the only two undefeated teams left, which are the Minnesota Vikings, which thumped us for our only loss, and the Kansas City Chiefs, who seem to always figure out a way not to lose. But the Texans look good. I can't say I was impressed with Drake May today. I did not think that this was a good move. I thought Jacoby Brissett was the play. Drake May came in. He did piss down his leg in the first half. However, Drake May made a terrific comeback. They were never close to winning. Houston's dub was never in question. However, Drake May might be the future of the New England Patriots. What do you think, AJ?
Yeah, for sure. I agree. I mean, a lot of people were, you know, skeptical about them picking a quarterback. They wanted to get a weapon and stuff like that. But I think, like, you need a quarterback to be successful in this league. So it starts there. Obviously, you want to build the pieces around there this year. And the rest of the season, honestly, is going to be good for them to develop. And then you'll see what they can draft next year and then who they can bring in free agent-wise. But it was a solid showing for sure in his first start.
I like Joe Milton a lot in the preseason. But Drake Mayshuk, the dude's got a cannon. He threw a couple. That first touchdown that he threw was an absolute dart.
It was a dart, yeah.
And you take away some of the drops, right? James Polk had a couple of just terrible drops. I'm pretty sure they were all on third down, too, which sucks more for them. But you take away the drop passes by receivers, you add an injured Ramondre Stevenson back into the mix, and the Patriots might actually be able to contend in this game.
Yeah, and it felt like they were trying to make a little push at the end, but the Texans, they were able to make timely stops, and you know, that interception in the fourth quarter,
it sealed the deal.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, and I mean, we were missing Kamari Lazarder. Derek Stingley did get burnt a couple of times. However, Houston has woken up. I think getting thumped by the Vikings, I think that really gave us something. It's really going to propel us into being able to compete with the bigger teams. I see Houston going pretty far this season.
Yeah, they should. I mean, a lot of people projected them to be, I mean, potentially in the AFC Championship. We'll see. I mean, of course, health and things of that nature. But they're definitely looking right, and they haven't even, you know, like hit their stride yet, in my opinion. They haven't played their best ball at all.
Exactly. Talking about not playing their best ball at all, we're going to go ahead and jump on over to your favorite team.
That's fine.
It's going to be my favorite part of the show, baby. The Dallas Cowboys. The game just ended. It was not a terrific game by any means. They lost to the Detroit Lions 47-9. And AJ, I know we don't normally use you a lot, but I would like a little bit of your insight on this one. Why did this happen? You know, Dallas has looked okay, right? Maybe not as good as everybody thought they might have, or the diehards thought they might have, but Detroit came to Dallas and they wiped the floor with them. What would you say would be their biggest issue here?
I mean, it's a lot of people look to the injuries and things of that nature, but I mean, you look before the season started, the team wasn't built to win, in my opinion. I mean, you have someone like Derrick Henry wants to be a Dallas Cowboy, Jerry Jones just being incompetent, not looking at a key running back, bringing back Ezekiel Elliott. Like, no offense, I love what he did in his early career in Dallas, but no, that wasn't the option. And then just not having a lot around receiver-wise either. Like, we talked about it before the show. Besides CeeDee Lamb, who do you really have? I mean, Ferguson's a good tight end, but you need more.
Yeah,
exactly. And then just for me, I mean, I didn't expect them to win a Super Bowl anyway. So if you don't win a Super Bowl, I mean, I'd rather them try to get someone like Ashton Jeanty next year. That would be insane, running back-wise. Because, I mean, I don't look forward to anything. Micah Parsons hurt. DeMarcus Lawrence hurt. I mean, De'Ron Bland will be coming back. But, like, bro, we're not playing for a ride. I mean, if you aren't winning the Super Bowl, you're like the other 31 teams in the league trying to climb up. So,
exactly.
You know, like, I'm just watching the games at this point because I don't expect much.
At this point in the season, I mean, every win honestly just hurts y'all a little bit because all it's going to do is tank your draft stock that much more and keep you away from the blue chip players. They're at the top of the draft.
Right.
It's like you said, who do they have at receiver? I mean, you have Jalen Tolbert. You have Kevondre Turpin. And beyond that, I actually have to look him up. I don't know. I mean, Jake Ferguson's a good tight end.
Right.
I just don't consider it. He's not a wide receiver.
Right, exactly.
He's a top five tight end, I would say.
He's up there, yeah.
More or less. But they didn't – Brandon Cooks is hurt, and they didn't go out and try to build some wide receiver core. I mean, I know CeeDee got paid. CeeDee deserved to get paid. No matter how bad Dallas may look, CeeDee's a top three wide receiver in the league. He is very, very, very good. But it doesn't matter when he's your only – he's your primary target, your secondary target, and your third target. I mean, Kevondre Turpin gets open. He scored a couple of touchdowns in the passing game. But he's a better kick returner than he is a wide receiver.
Oh, for sure.
Like almost a Devin Hester. I mean, no offense to Devin Hester. It's not the same level for kick returns,
yeah,
right?
That's true.
But in terms of a wide receiver, he's a much better special teams player than he is a wide receiver. So it begs the question, you know, what was Dallas doing this offseason, doubling down on the roster that already didn't go the distance? Like, yeah. All you can do is kind of shake your head and wonder where they go from here. Because there's a lot of holes on this team.
Oh, for sure. And it's not going to get cleaned up by the trade deadline or anything like that. And just, it's Jerry Jones, you know, it's him. I mean, honestly, it was his birthday today, but I'm kind of glad they lost like this on his birthday. Because, I mean,
birthday.
It sums up how he's made Cowboys fans feel for the past 30 years, really. So, you know.
It was bad. And it does kind of suck for him that it happened on his birthday. But, he'll never forget this year.
Oh, for sure. 82.
Right. Detroit walked in. Detroit looked really good. I mean, worth noting. I mean, Detroit looked fantastic. Sam Laporta finally scores a touchdown. Mm-hmm. He's been on my fantasy league or one of my three fantasy teams, just doing absolutely nothing every week. Sam Laporta looked really good today. Jared Goff is playing lights out ball, which is fantastic for Goff. And you have Jameson Williams is probably my favorite player on this team. Him and Tim Patrick. I love that Tim Patrick from the Denver Broncos is having such a good revival season after losing the last two to an ACL and I believe an Achilles.
Yeah, man.
Tim Patrick was out there, almost scored that touchdown, got just yay far from scoring it, gets stopped. David Montgomery walked in so that I can add more fantasy points against the Mean Gene this week in fantasy. But I don't know, man. If I'm a Dallas fan, I am hitting the panic button. I mean, I know a lot of people that thought they were going to win a Super Bowl. Rational people knew that that was not going to happen.
Exactly.
But you have to wonder because they're investing a lot of money in just a few people. You have the Micah Parsons contract coming up. You got to wonder if they're actually going to re-up him or if they're going to disperse that money to pick up other free agents to fill other holes.
You have to pay Micah for sure. I mean,
you think?
Hopefully, yeah, they're going to pay him because I know like at times obviously it seems like he disappears, but that's more than the whole story. They also hold him a lot. They don't count things like that nature, but. You don't find edge rushers that easily. So I think they're going to sign him. I know there's a new TV deal coming soon. So, I mean, that'll be able to, you know, disperse more money and stuff like that. But, yeah, I mean, they're going to have be able to draft well and hit on draft people they draft because the money is about to go up for a lot of different people.
You're not kidding. And, I mean, they do have the best kicker in football.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I will give Brandon Aubrey every prop every week. That dude is so good at kicking field goals and extra. He's the best kicker in the league.
Yeah, most consistent as well.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's crazy to think not too long ago you had like Brandon McManus and Justin Tucker and guys of that nature at the top. They all seem to have fallen off. And Brandon Aubrey came out of absolutely nowhere last year and hasn't missed a beat.
Right.
He's so good, dude.
He's the only bright spot right now, in my opinion. So,
do you think, and this is just out of, I know Dak just got paid, right? Mm-hmm. And the contract's got to hurt just a little bit watching their offense sputter the way it has. You can't blame it all on Dak. The offensive line has let him down. The receivers are not terrific. Some of that falls on Dak. Do you believe that Dallas may go out of their way to draft a quarterback, not to supplant Dak, right? Like, not, it'd be ridiculous to give him all that guaranteed money and then bring somebody else in. Like, yeah, it's the quarterback competition now. But do you think they might go out and try to find somebody better than Cooper Rush that might motivate Dak a little better now that he's gotten paid and kind of might need to kick it up being the highest paid player on the Dallas Cowboys?
I mean, I guess that could be possible, but I mean, you giving him that contract before the season started, it really just solidifies him being your quarterback for the next half decade. So I mean, last year when they traded for Trey Lance, it didn't make sense in my opinion. So I guess it's possible, but I don't really see that happening. Just Jerry needs to do a lot. Really, I just wish he would step down, honestly. I'm just being real. But
you think his son would run the program better?
I wish both of them would just stop and just get out of the way. Let someone else with a young, innovative mind who has football knowledge run the operation of the team and finally bring some relevance to the Cowboys organization because they don't have it.
There is a guy looming right now that is theoretically unemployed that could come in and do it all. You know, you could have Bill Belichick step in and be Jerry and everybody else in the organization. You might get that dynasty back, man.
That would be the rational thing to do, but do the Cowboys under Jerry Jones do rational stuff? I don't think so.
Not even
I don't
remotely.
Expect it. You know, I'm just, it is what it is at this point.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, so I like the Cowboys, right? not really. They're my least favorite team in Texas. But I like the idea that they could be great again. Like, right, like make the Cowboys great again. They were good before we were alive.
Right.
And it's just one of those things where like you hate to see it. Because they at the end of the day, they are a Texas team. Like we're in Houston. We want Houston to be better. But you want Dallas to be good as well, right? Like it.
Yeah.
But like it would make sense, and I do kind of hope that they turn it around. Y'all got to pay Stephon Diggs next year. That's why Houston wiped his contract out so that he could go play with his brother next year, more than likely. So I don't know, dude. I want to see Dallas do better, but it's one of those things that I don't foresee it happening.
You just see an implosion coming, like yeah. Like Stephen A. says, like an accident waiting to happen. Like it's bad. Yeah. And it's always embarrassing. Like it's never gonna be normal.
Never close. Yeah, it's always a big embarrassment. It sucks, dude. But only for you on this show. So I'm sorry, bro.
It's all good.
But you are listening to ESPN 97.5, The Mean Gene Show. On our next segment, we will have Brian Diardo joining us, and we will be right back.
Is the Mean Gene Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5
from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Mean Gene.
Welcome back, everybody. I am Jacob Meadows. I am obviously not Mean Gene, but we are filling in and having a little bit of fun despite not having him here with us tonight. AJ, do we have Brian on the phone yet? Okay, cool, everybody. We have Brian Diardo on the phone with us today. He is the senior writer for CBSSports.com, and he is one of the most intellectual people that I have actually had the opportunity to talk with since being with Mean Gene. So without any other further ado, Brian, what is up, buddy?
Guys, it's always a pleasure to be on with you. Hopefully Gene's back with us soon. But, it's always a pleasure to talk with you guys, and what a day it was so far in the NFL with the Bengals and Giants playing now. But, yeah, I'm sure there's a lot to talk about from the games that have already happened.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, looking at the AFC North, right, we had the Steelers and Raiders. That's going to be the game that we start with. The Steelers are the best team outside of the Ravens, but they played in a more interesting game, in my opinion. I thought the Ravens and Commanders was a better game in terms of the matchup. But the Steelers are an intriguing team to me this year, being with Justin Fields and kind of having, I don't know, less to work with, right? In my opinion, Baltimore's got a better roster, but the Steelers are playing really good ball. And between the Steelers and Raiders, do you feel that the Steelers have kind of pulled away a little bit from the bottom of this division? Do you think that they are going to be able to compete with Baltimore after what we saw with the Raiders?
It's a really good question, and I think the answer is I think Baltimore is obviously the best team in this division. Mm-hmm. That being said, you do wonder defensively where Baltimore is, because on one side of the coin they've played two really good offenses lately in Cincinnati and Washington, so that could help maybe give them a pass for giving up well over 30 points in both of the or 30 and over in both of those games. But you do wonder, going forward, though, is that going to continue to be an issue? They have, and that's why, to me, next week against Tampa, at Tampa, to me, might help us understand what Baltimore is. Is this going to be the Baltimore defense that allowed 10 points 2 weeks ago to the Bills, or is this a defense that's going to continue to allow points? But, yeah, offensively, Baltimore is on a level. Cincinnati and Baltimore right with each other. Cincinnati's defense can figure things out. Then they obviously can fight back into this mix, but at 1-4, there's a lot less of a margin for error, obviously. But I think defense right now for Baltimore, you have to question it a little bit, because again, they looked good against Buffalo, but other than that, 27 against the Chiefs, 26 against the Raiders, 25 against Dallas when they had a big lead and coasted. So I do think, the Bills game so far has been the anomaly, right? Every other game defensively, they have not been great. So Pittsburgh. Yeah, they could win if you force turnovers, which the Steelers are number one in the NFL in red zone turnovers. They had another one today with T.J. Watt saving a touchdown at the one-yard line, getting the ball out, recovering it. So, that defense can be the Steelers' equalizer. Now, you want to get in a shootout with Baltimore, the Steelers aren't going to win. But they are making strides, every game offensively. And, the 32 points today, a lot of that was because of the defense and the special teams getting a blocked punt. It was a lot of you know, complimentary football. It would have been impossible today for the Steelers to lose this game, given how well the defense and the special teams played. The offense kind of had to show up and make a few plays and not mess it up for everybody else, and that's what they did. I mean, Najee Harris ran exceptionally well. You know, Justin Fields, 2 touchdown runs, over 60 rushing yards. The Steelers ran the ball very, very effectively today, and I think that was the story for them. I mean, you know, like I said, the special teams, the block punt, they maybe have the best kicker in the league in Chris Boswell, maybe the most underrated kicker in the league. Defense is number one or two in the league. So to answer your question in a long-winded way, yes, the Steelers can keep pace with Baltimore, especially when they play each other, because the Steelers, like a few other teams in the AFC North, when healthy, have found kind of the blueprint for how to beat Lamar Jackson. The Steelers have a very good record against him. I believe he's only beaten them twice. So, yes, the Steelers can play with Baltimore as long as that defense continues to play the way it's played so far.
Nice. Okay, let me ask you this. So, in my opinion, like watching the game, right, it looked a lot like the Raiders beat themselves. The Raiders put them in a position to succeed multiple times. They had a lot of things called back via penalties, and they had a lot of miscues with Aiden O'Connell under quarterback. Did this game kind of worry you about Pittsburgh's defense at all with the way the Raiders, I mean, they had so many touchdowns called back today, it was insane. So if Pittsburgh was playing a more disciplined team, if Antonio Pierce had really, you know, brought his team and had them ready to go and not had so many just kind of bogus miscues, the Raiders might actually have looked competitive in this. Are you worried about that Pittsburgh defense at all? Or do you think this is kind of, it's just, it was one of those weeks and the better team won and Pittsburgh's on to the next week now?
Well, I think you're right. And I think you only have to go back 1 week to see what a competent offense can do against the Steelers. Look what Dallas did. And then you look what Dallas did today, getting destroyed by the Lions. Mm-hmm. So Dallas clearly is not a great team. And they came to Pittsburgh and defeated the Steelers. They orchestrated that game-winning drive that Dak Prescott orchestrated last Sunday. So, no, to answer your question, yeah, I think the Steelers certainly still have some, you know, communication issues on the back end. I think Deshaun Elliott is still kind of working his way with Minkah Fitzpatrick, who I believe, as you watched the game, you saw he was banged mm-hmm. up and still played, so he's not 100%. The thing to me, I think the secret to me, you know, the Steelers' defense that might be, they're not elite. They're not. No. And they're borderline, I wouldn't even call them great. I think they're a very good defense, for sure. And in today's NFL, a very, very good defense, because, you know, no one plays defense anymore. But I think the thing is, Patrick Queen has kind of been disappointing. You know,
he got hurt
today, a lot of
too.
The games. Yes, that also. But yeah, he hasn't been really an impact player. And it's fair to wonder whether or not Roquan Smith was actually kind of the guy that made him look better. And, you know, their other, you know, rookie that starts at linebacker, he's Peyton Wilson. He's good, but he's a rookie, and he a lot of times tries to guess and is out of position a lot and can get pushed off of blocks and can get trailed around in blocks. So, you know, if I was Ben by the trade deadline, which I don't know if they will or not, I'd be looking for inside linebackers that could help them, a veteran inside linebacker. Doesn't necessarily need to be great at coverage, but can just be a good stout run stuffer mm-hmm. And not be a liability in pass coverage. But to me, I think that's been the biggest deficiency I can see with that defense. So, no, I think, as Mike Tomlin always says, you know, they're still in the learning phase. I think they absolutely have the players on defense to be a very good unit. I think it's still communication, and those things are obviously still working on.
One of the big, you know, things in the media is the Justin Fields versus Russell Wilson competition, and will Russ supplant him as QB1 and this, that, and the other. Have you seen enough from Justin Fields to like Justin Fields moving forward? Do you think Pittsburgh would benefit from possibly playing Russ just to see what, you know, maybe they have in that bag while they still have him this year on the nothing contract that he's playing under? Or do you think Justin Fields has done enough to cement himself as QB1 this season?
Well, you know what? Shameless plug. I'm glad you asked. I literally just wrote something on, you know, the nice part about that game was it was such a blowout. You could write the article and it was done right when the game ended. So I actually wrote on why I think the Steelers at this point should have no thoughts about changing quarterbacks at any point here soon. And the beauty of their schedule is this. They've got two more home games, I believe, now, prime time against the Jets, who, very tough defense. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they're 2-3. They just fired their coach. They play tomorrow night. So you're going to get the Jets on a short week. And that, you know, they should either be favored in that game or that's a very winnable game. And then you've got the Giants who, you know, that shouldn't, you know, they're not one of the top teams in the league, we can all agree. You know, I think of Wilson, or obviously from here until the bye, Justin Fields is your starting quarterback, barring an injury or barring anything crazy. Like, he's your starting quarterback, and there shouldn't be any more discussion. You know, they're 4-2 right now. They split the next two games. They're 5-3, but Fields plays okay-ish. Then I think maybe you could have that conversation about Russ, and that would also give him even more time to get healthy and to get acclimated. Because, again, last week was the first time he was a full participant in practice. And as Mike Tomlin said at the end of the week, you know, he showed this week he can protect himself. He got through the week without having any setbacks. That's step one. Now let's see this week if he can duplicate that, and then we can go from there. So really, to me, the schedule sets up great for Pittsburgh. You're 4-2, two home games, you know, primetime games. You're going to have the fans behind you. Worst case, you would imagine you're 5-3, and then you can kind of make a decision. If they win these next two games, no, you keep rolling with Fields. You lose these two games, then I think you seriously need to consider Wilson. So, but at least for now, and you watch the game, so you know what I'm talking about. He wasn't great. He just isn't. But he didn't turn the ball over. He made the throws when they needed to be made. And he gives the Steelers that added dimension with the running.
Yep.
And that's really important because, A, he can make plays for you in the running game. It opens up Arthur Smith's offense. It gives defenses another element of the offense to watch. Plus, that offensive line continues to get banged up. We saw Zach Frazier leave the game today with an injury. They already have a couple of rookies starting on the offensive line. They lost to Tanu potentially for the season, their number one overall, or their number one draft pick. So I just think for what the Steelers have on offense, it makes a lot more sense with Fields. And I know that with Wilson, there might be that temptation. Hey, you basically got him for free. You should see what you can get out of him. I predict, and I think there will be at some point this year, organically, Russell Wilson will play for the Steelers in the regular season. I just don't see that being anytime soon.
I have to agree. And it to me, it boils down to Justin Fields' ability to run. Because Russ has lost that step, right? Russ is no longer a spring chicken. He cannot move the way that Justin Fields can move. So if the pocket were to collapse, right, Russ is going to take a sack in a situation that Justin Fields probably won't, unless, you know, he extends the play and then gets sacked afterwards. But I do agree with you 100% on that. I think that as long as they're winning games, you can't fix what's not broken. I think Justin Fields has done admirably well for the Steelers, considering, you know, the bad rep that he got in Chicago. So that has been pretty nice. But
yeah, 100%. And I think the other thing you have to look at too is that he's just getting better in Pittsburgh, you know. And I think one thing that he deserves credit, he's been very coachable. You know, they've had him change things with his footwork. They've had him change things where he has the ball and he's dropping back to throw. I mean, a lot of guys with all the success he's had could scoff and bristle at, hey, you're going to make me change my mechanics. And he's not Aaron Rodgers, but there's no way Aaron Rodgers is changing mechanics right now.
Like, no, not at all.
Not a lot of quarterbacks would. And I think that is, I think, a credit to Fields that he's not just benefiting from a different environment as far as players and as far as system. He's also benefiting from better coaching. And I think that definitely is a tribute to him that he is only getting better.
I agree, and I love what Tomlin's been able to do with him. I have liked Justin Fields since he entered the league, so I'm glad that Tomlin has taken him under. And it does look as though that, you feel like you said, Fields is progressing every week. He has looked better each week. I mean, he doesn't always light up the stat sheet, but he does look good, and he's got a good command of this offense, and he is pointing the Steelers in the correct direction.
Yes, and if I may too, I think the other thing is that I love his poise, right? And and I've watched him a lot at Ohio State. And he's never played in an NFL postseason game, but he played in, the college football playoff a couple of times beat Clemson, had 6 touchdowns, I think, in that game. And in that game, you know, they blitzed the linebacker, almost basically saying, you know, we're not going to beat Ohio State straight up. We got to take this guy out. Took a nasty shot to his midsection, stayed in that game, and seemed to only play better. And Mike Tomlin has said this, to your point about Coach Tomlin and him working with Fields. He has said, like, you know, when you never really know what you have in a quarterback until you're in the thick of it with him, you know, until you're in an NFL game with him, it's tight, and you're looking at him. And he goes, that dude doesn't say much, but he just has this look in his eyes where he's with you. He sees with you, he has poise, he never gets too up, never gets too down. And I think the intangibles has been almost as impressive as his tangibles. I mean, Russell Wilson is very liked in that Steelers locker room, very respected. He was voted a captain. But Justin Fields has also gotten, you know, he's also won over the locker room. And I think that's another important element in all of this, that the Steelers want to play for him. The defense wants him in. And so I think Justin Fields really couldn't have done much better. I mean, I know a lot of people want his numbers to be better, but you got to remember, if you would have told me, if you would have said, ask anybody in July, hey, Justin Fields is going to be starting for the Steelers, and they're going to be 4-2 after 6 weeks, and he's going to throw, I think, what, one interception?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody on earth would take that. So I think we've moved the goalposts on Justin Fields, and if we take a step back and look at everything he's done, I think, you know, it's hard to ask for much more out of him and the team.
I love it. All right, well, Brian, we got to shut down this segment. We got to go to a commercial break. If you don't mind, I would love to have you back to finish off this division whenever we come back from commercial. But everybody, you are listening to 97.5 ESPN Houston, and we are going on commercial break.
You're listening to The Mean Gene Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Mean Gene.
Welcome back, everybody, to The Mean Gene Show on ESPN 97.5 Houston. I am joined by CBSSports.com senior writer Brian DiArdo for the second and the last segment of our first hour here on the show. Welcome back. Thank you very much, Brian, for sticking this one out and coming back for another segment with me, man.
Oh, hey, my pleasure. My pleasure. Always good to be with you guys.
All right, so we're going to open this one with Cleveland, the Cleveland Browns and the Philadelphia Eagles. This game was earlier today. We'll finish up with the Bengals. They are live, so I have much fewer questions for them. But going into the Cleveland Browns, I know you're big on the AFC North. The Cleveland Browns have imploded in a way that not even the Cleveland Browns have been able to pull off in the past right now. And there doesn't seem to be like a clear path forward, right? You're stuck into the Deshaun Watson contract. He's not playing well. The offensive line is abysmal. Nick Chubb comes back allegedly next week. He'll probably be on a significant snap count. But do you think there's any way for Cleveland to kind of dig themselves out of this hole? I mean, they were a playoff team last year, and this year they are so dysfunctional that it doesn't look like they can get out of their own way.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack. And, you know, like the Steelers, they've got to buy, not necessarily, not as close. They've got three more games all at home, Bengals, Ravens, Chargers. You know, the Bengals have the same record as they do. Teams seem like in the division, the Browns did beat Lamar Jackson, the Ravens, late last year. The Chargers are, you know, kind of a middling, kind of middle-of-the-road team. So, yeah, I mean, there's a chance they could maybe get, you know, maybe two wins going into their bye and you know, regain hope. But, you know, right now they're 1-5, as you said. It's a roster largely that was good enough to go to the playoffs last year, win 11 games, and... You know, you ask, what could they do? I mean, they could change quarterbacks, and that's not going to fix everything, you know.
No.
And I covered the Packers game and the Steelers game today, so I haven't got a chance to look deeply at the Browns game this week, but I did look at last week's game against Washington. And what I saw were, I think, three things. I think they have no identity right now on offense, and I think that's killing them. You would think when Chubb comes back, that's going to help them, but the main reason why they don't have an identity is because their offensive line is just in shambles. They've had so many injuries, and it was one of the league's best offensive lines for so many years. And that was a huge reason why Nick Chubb had so much success and you know, Joe Flacco and all that, you know, had success. That's not there anymore. You know, that their line is still has injuries, and some of those injuries aren't going to get better this year. They're just going to have to make do. So that's part of it. Now, the other part is the inconsistent play at quarterback, and some of it is on Deshaun Watson. You know, some of it's not. Some of it is receivers aren't getting open. Some of it is, you know, defenses are out scheming, you know, the offense and the new offensive coordinator they have there, Ken Dorsey, who was fired in Buffalo, and it's safe to say that you know, his time in Cleveland might not be very long either. So, now it is, again, also important to say that Kevin Stefanski does call the plays there. So, I don't know how much of a fault it is to you know, the offensive coordinator, but like Van Pelt, Dorsey might very well be the scapegoat again. But you could change quarterbacks, and what that does for you is it creates an offense that's much more similar to the one that they ran with Joe Flacco, which is shorter releases, shorter routes, higher chance for completions, and it's going to maybe shorten the game for your defense and will keep them off the field more. When Nick Chubb comes back, hopefully he can help kind of aid the quarterback. But, you know, Watson doesn't help himself. You know, five sacks today, a lot of that, again, is the offensive line. but a lot of that is his erratic play. So the answer is simple. You change quarterbacks, you see if Jameis Winston can give you a spark.
Is this so? Okay, so I do like that you said Jameis Winston over Dorian Thompson-Robinson, but do you think this team's going to be a seller at the deadline? I mean, they don't have very many chips that they could move that would bring in anything significant, but if you really had to, you could move in Amari Cooper, right, which is their best receiver and would crater their passing game a little bit. But if you were to move in Amari Cooper or one of these bigger names on the Cleveland team, you could bring in a better left tackle, or you could beef up this offensive line in a way that makes enough sense that they could sustain their drives, because you don't want Nick Chubb blowing his knee out again, right? So do you think that this might be a team where they would benefit from being sellers at the deadline and getting kind of selling off some people and bringing in some offensive linemen to try to right the ship? Or do you possibly think that this might be just a down year if they can't get out of this rut and they're just going to have to live this one out and hope for the best in the draft and hope that they can develop a little better next season?
They definitely should be sellers. You know, and I said, hey, maybe they can be 3-5 by the deadline or whatever, or 3-6 mm-hmm. by their bye. They're not going to the playoffs. We all know
correct,
that. I mean,
yeah.
their season's done. It is. And it's also, thank goodness they have the Guardians, right? Cleveland fans are the Guardians, and the Cavs are supposed to be good. They got a lot of other good things going on in Cleveland, so, that's great. They should be sellers, right? And Amari Cooper, I think they already talked about potentially trading him. Mm-hmm. All the rumors with Brandon Ayuk. I mean, that would be the move. I mean, Jerry Jeudy, I still have hopes for him in this league.
He's looked good.
He had one catch day for 35 yards. There's still hope for him, and I think you could send him out. But I agree. I think if you're Cleveland, and if there's any benefit in right now where you are, it's that you could start making proactive moves towards the future, and you can sell that to your fan base as, hey, you know, we're still trying to make everything better. And I think everybody in Cleveland is going to understand, hey, you're 1-4, especially, again, 3 weeks until the bye. It's going to come right up at the trade deadline. It would be the perfect time to make a move. And, you know, if I'm the, you know, it will never happen. But if I'm the Steelers, man, I'm trying to get Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. I mean, he's a great, great player, had 8 tackles and a sack today. That would be a player that I would give up a lot of equity to get if I'm a playoff contending team that's had injuries at linebacker. And I'd have to do some research to see what teams that might be.
Sure.
You know, I know for the Lions, who may have lost Hutchinson, Max Crosby would be a great trade candidate. He shoved his coach near the end of that game, so maybe he's a guy that you could get, or, you know, and all that. But yeah, I mean, I think they certainly have players that you can trade for. But yeah, I think Cooper, as you said, would be at the top of that list.
Mm-hmm.
You know, potentially Chubb, but you know, you don't
trade for
it'd be hard to trade for a guy like
yeah.
that. I mean, I don't know, you know, I don't even know what teams would need Nick Chubb, but that would be a great decision, though. I mean, it would give him a chance to play for a contender. I mean, the Niners, right? I mean, that would be the team, you know, if there's any team that he could potentially go to.
Do you think Myles Garrett could potentially see the trade block? Do you think that the Cleveland Browns could move on from Myles Garrett, which is their all-generation defensive player right now? But, I mean, he would buy you the most, right, outside of Nick Chubb and Amari Cooper. I mean, Myles Garrett is a stud. He's well-renowned throughout the league. He's good at what he does. Do you think we could possibly see a Myles Garrett trade getting him off of the Cleveland Browns?
I don't see that, though. I mean, I get what you're saying, and I agree. I mean, you could get a slam dunk first round pick. I mean, teams now are being way more guarded with their picks than even a few years ago. So, like, you know, you're not going to see, I don't think, a guy get traded for 3 first round picks ever again, unless it was like a Patrick Mahomes. But other than him, those days are over. So you wouldn't get the equity that the Browns. I don't foresee any scenario where trading him, they would get anything in return for what they're going to lose. Not to mention, I mean, he sells tickets, right? And at the end of the day, it is an entertainment business. You know, it's like the Pirates fan Andrew McCutcheon. Like, they're terrible, but he's still there. People are going to pay to go see him, right? Like, that's kind of the situation in Cleveland. Like, Myles Garrett is their guy. He's their future Hall of Famer. He's their guy that no matter what, you can go and cheer for him. So, no, I think because of the PR, the hit they would get. Plus, like I said, unless a first-round pick is that valuable, I don't know. I don't think they would get the kind of return that you would get. Now, you could trade Cooper for a third-round pick or Jeudy, you know, for a fourth-round pick, fifth-round mm-hmm. pick, and you could argue that. Or even Nick Chubb maybe for a third-round pick. But, no, I would be shocked if Myles Garrett left Cleveland. Again, unless, like, the Lions offered a first and third-round pick. You'd have to offer a first and another very, very high draft pick. Like next year's first in the second round pick in 2026 or something like that. But the Lions, as we just talked about with Aiden Hutchinson, I mean, that might be a team that places a call to Cleveland because it looks like Hutchinson is going to be out the rest of the year.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that was an awful injury. It didn't look that bad watching it the first time, but once they replayed it, it is awful. Like, that is prayers up to Aiden Hutchinson. That sucks. He's not arguably one of their best defenders this season. But Brian, we've got about 60 seconds left before we have to send this segment off into the sunset. So out of the 2 1-win teams in the AFC North, right? Cincinnati and Cleveland. Do you think that Cincinnati is on a crash course to be almost as bad? Or do you think Cincinnati instill enough confidence in you that you think that they're going to pull themselves out of this dump?
They can do it. They can do it. They're like the 81 Chargers. Amazing offense, no defense, but they went to the second round of the – no, they went to the AFC Championship game. So their schedule's tough. There's no doubt about it. But they have Joe Burrow. They have Chase. They have Higgins. Ever since Higgins came back, that offense has been amazing. They've done a great job replacing Mixon with Chase Brown and Zach Moss. That defense has to figure it out, right? And I think they're making steps. I know they're playing right now. I know that because my wife's a Bengals fan. I've heard her cheering twice from the living room, so she's happy. So the Bengals – must be winning, but their offense is prolific. It might be the best offense in the league. They just need that defense to do something for them every now and then, and I think they will. I think they have the pieces on that defense to figure it out, and I think they will. Playoffs will be is a different story. Like, you know, it's going to be hairy for them, but I think that they're going to make a push. As long as Joe Burrow, Higgins, and Chase stay healthy, they absolutely have a chance to push and try to get that 7th wild card spot.
Sweet. All right, well, thank you, Brian. Thank you for joining us today. And yeah, dude, have a great night. And we are going to send this segment off into the sunset. You are listening to the Mean Gene Show on ESPN 97.5 Houston.